Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 11th of June, recording at 9:27 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, being Friday's audio, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for each of the four main liquid asset classes. So, starting with global stock markets, you will note that the North American and European indices have approached important tests of overhead resistance, namely being the highs that we've seen earlier this year within the trading ranges that we've seen throughout most of this year. Now, could stock markets actually break up through those levels? Well, many people think so, and far more people hope so. Understandably, if they are going to do that, then the main reason would be in the interesting report by Ed Yardini that I posted on the website here today. And essentially, it would be all the liquidity sloshing around in the system, causing the asset reflation bubble to reflate once again. Now, that's not impossible, and when I say that many investors would hope for that, that doesn't make it happen, but there are some very powerful groups that would like to see that happen. Well, we have Wall Street, that's the least powerful of them, but not without influence. We would have the Bush administration, that's very powerful and with considerable influence. And then the Federal Reserve, arguably the most powerful of all, as far as the stock markets are actually concerned. And I don't think that Greenspan would be at all unhappy to see stock markets go on and rise further during the remaining part of this year. Now, against that, though, you know all the arguments, so I won't review them all, but just a touch on a few, that the interest rate cycle is in the process of changing. We'll almost certainly get a quarter point rate hike from the Fed later this month. And I really do disagree with the people who have said, look, this is all discounted because of the fact that a number of people are talking about rates going to 3 or 4% by this time next year. And I've been dismissive of that argument in my written copy, so I need not repeat all of that, except to say that from the first rate hike onwards, that's the reality check, because until that happens, some people will hope or suspect or that there's a possibility that the rate hike may not come, however unrealistic that would seem. But once that first rate hike does come, then a number of people are going to repeat that old mantra about don't fight the Fed. So I think, and then with the Bush administration being in trouble in the polls, trailing behind Senator John Kerry, that's not a good omen as well. And you can see that election cycle chart, which I've posted once again in here today. So really, I would go back to my earlier premise and say that the highs that we've seen, well, it's been my premise all along, that the highs that we have seen earlier this year are the penultimate peaks at least, and also that time is gradually running out. Going back to last year, I was saying that I felt that stock markets would see an important peak this year. At the time, I was more of the view, I believe, that it was going to be sort of in the second half of the year, but I've seen enough to still feel that we've seen the best of this bull run by far, and we may have seen the actual highs for most indices. But if I'm wrong on that, and the Yardini view is right on the basis of all this liquidity that's sloshing around in the system, and that is an important factor in here, and I'm not going to fight any change if I did see technical action to suggest that the Yardini view is going to be even remotely right, we need to see some sustained upward breaks by indices. Now, probably Wall Street wouldn't lead that, but we'd see some indices begin to do that, and certainly Wall Street would need to confirm such a move. We've had plenty of new rally highs this year, but they weren't maintained. As you know, markets would just nudge above and then fall back, and sometimes quite sharply. So all in all, how would I actually play it here? Well, very, very carefully, as I've said all along. When the stock markets are strong, I think it's a good idea to lighten some positions, particularly if there's something that you're not too happy about. The positions that I would be most relaxed about holding, and indeed I'm doing this myself, would be some of the quite high yielding stocks in your respective markets. One important factor that I did mention on the website, but haven't in this audio yet, is that the lead from Asia. I've mentioned this point previously on numerous occasions, but it remains negative, and I just don't like the look of the charts for India and Thailand, for instance, or Indonesia. That was another leader, and I've always placed great store on the fact that the leaders within a cycle will lead in at least one complete bull and bear cycle far more often than not, and that's been the case so far, as you know, with India and Thailand peaking in January of this year, about mid-January. So my overall view and my position as I'm playing it, my longs remain in India, Thailand, and Japan. That's where most of it is, a little bit in Malaysia, but heavily overweight in Asia among my much reduced stock market positions. When I say heavily overweight, I don't want you to think I've got aggressive positions here in stock markets. My biggest position by far in the liquid markets is in cash. I do have lots of cash, but I still retain some reasonably sized positions in those Asian markets. Much, much less, very small positions in the Western markets, and slightly larger than those high yielding stocks. Some positions in the gold shares, some of which I've been holding for an awfully long time. My biggest position among the golds is Newmont Mining, and it's not doing awfully well at this stage, but I think it's fair value at this stage as well. And I am looking to sell short in here. I said yesterday I might be doing a little shorting in here today. I didn't, as it turned out, rightly or wrongly, but it's very much in my mind to be adding some shorts here. And then if the Yardini view turns out to be correct, well, I'll have to chop those, take losses on those positions. But my hunch is, and very much, that of the three things that stock markets can do, which is of course to move up significantly, go sideways for the medium term, short to medium term, or to go downwards significantly, that sideways to downwards really are most likely to be the case. But of course, hey, that's only my view, and you've got a big crowd out there that has a far more bullish view, as you know. But let's put it this way, it's for the bulls to prove. And they don't have the technical evidence on their side at this particular time, in my view, and I think in the view of any sort of objective reader of those charts. But we do know what the markets would have to do to confirm the Yardini view, and if we get that, I'll follow it to a certain extent. Now, what else to mention here? Bond markets. The European bonds were softer in here today. The chart patterns look bearish. I'm talking about 10-year government bonds now. The bunds and the gilts don't look good. I think this is a very unattractive area, and it won't look attractive again until stock markets are really getting battered and recession fears and deflation fears are building once again. We have the opposite environment right now, where growth is reasonably strong to very strong, and those that aren't really performing, a number of the European economies, At least the governments are hopeful, and the central bank is talking reasonably cheerfully. They may not be believing. This might be whistling in the dark, but they're trying to talk up confidence in those regions. So it won't be until the central banks are really quite scared that we're going into recession, and that the deflationary pressures are really returning, that I think we'll have medium-term rallies, no more than that, but medium-term rallies in the government bond markets. Meanwhile, the government bond markets are all shorts on rallies, and the two that I'm most keen to short, as you know, and I'm currently out at the moment, I've taken my profits several times in these in this churning sort of top formation development activity phase, are the JGBs and the US Treasuries. And the JGBs probably more even than the US Treasuries. And encouragingly, well, they're deeply oversold in the short term, just short term indicators. Right now, after a very persistent decline over the last 3 to 4 weeks, and they're showing a bit of loss of downside momentum. Had a bit of a rally here today, helped by the fact that the Nikkei was off 49 points. I mean, and that's not very much, but at least it wasn't rallying. And in the past, we've seen the Bank of Japan bid up those JGBs on a number of occasions, so I'd love to see that happen, but I'll be pleasantly surprised, I'll put it that way, if that does happen. And now moving on to the currencies, and here's something that does concern me. We had the euro get whacked in here today, and against the US dollar. The dollar was firmer today. Now, there are a lot of people talking about the dollar resuming its slide, and I've been saying it looked to me like the dollar's rally was, technical rally was over, and I'm not going to back away from that view yet, but I'm surprised by the strength of the dollar against the euro that we've seen in the last few days. I mean, okay, it had run up, had a good recovery, got up to the, from having been near reaction lows down at 117.75, I think. It rallied up to 123, sort of a ranging rally up to 123, and has fallen back. And we're right at 120.10 in here today, and it's been below, it was below the 120 level, got down to 119.67. So it has come back quite sharply, as I was saying. And that is certainly going to cause problems in the among the supply inelasticity trades. Now, we haven't seen most of those problems surface in here today because of the U.S. markets being closed during the funeral for President Reagan. But crude oil in Brent crude, that's the U.K. traded crude, was down, I think, about 30 cents, maybe a bit more. 30 pence, I guess that would be. No, it would be cents. Maybe a little bit more, and definitely cents. And now tin, remember I got stopped out on that yesterday, and really with an upside failure, failed breakout above the 9,000 level, it's been looking like a short, if anything, here. I'm not... If I had any position, if I were to open any position in tin, say on Monday, it would be a short position. But I'm not going to open any position in tin. But it's an upside failure, downward dynamics, and it got hit in here again today, down another $425 to $8,550. I'll just watch, and lead down a little bit here today, but not very much. Just a few dollars. I've still got that, but I am experiencing profit erosion, and it's uncomfortably close to my stop. But the euro's decline, the dollar strength did not trigger that one in here today. Interestingly, nickel was the one metal that was up in here today. And nickel has been recovering in recent weeks. We'd seen most metals bounce in recent weeks from lows in May. But nickel is important because it's been a cycle leader for metals. Incidentally, as you would have seen if you checked out the Yardini publication, that his premise is that the metals and actually petroleum will really be quite strong. And I think I said that if the Yardini script looks like it's unfolding, that I would back that through Asian stock markets. I'd Japan certainly among the developed markets rather than playing the U.S. or European markets, and I would expect some of the emerging markets to make a very fast catch-up move if the S&P was going to get anywhere near Yardini's 1295 versus the close that we had yesterday of 1136. Now, what else to mention here in the currencies? Well, it's a mixed action. I mean, here overall, but we've just seen sort of rotational moves in here this week. First, at the beginning of the week, we had the euro rallying, and then the yen took over the rallying phase. Today, the dollar's rallying. So it's very much range trading taking place among the currencies. So there's nothing that's really beckoning all that enticingly towards to me. And in the metals, but I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. My position is reduced after that tin stop. I've got quite a bit of silver, and that's going to be down on Monday, I would suspect, with the euro, beg your pardon, with the dollar firmer in here. That's my big position in the commodity markets. And these asset reflation plays, which again the Yardini script would see them bounding ahead, and I would increase my positions were that script to look likely, but I don't feel it is that likely. I was looking for somewhat of a softer dollar in here, and liquidity probably helping the supply and elasticity trades more than it would help other asset classes. But the bottom line in here, I don't have any strong conviction about anything in these markets other than the fact that we'll probably see a bit more of what we have been seeing, which is this choppy ranging activity, which, as I've said before, creates a high risk reward ratio. So really, if you don't have to be in the markets, enjoy the cash. As I said, I've got a lot of cash, and I'd like to have more. And no doubt, before I go on my quite long August cycle trip, I will raise more cash. I'll say that to myself right now so that I feel under a little bit of pressure to do it, because that would certainly be the sensible thing to do in every respect, from financial to peace of mind. And oil prices, I mentioned, a little bit softer in here today. So again, on those big themes, think in terms of a secular bear market for Wall Street and the European markets. That will cause a powerful headwind for the Asian markets when Wall Street is in retreat. And the secular bear market, as you know, I define as a contraction, generational long contraction in PE ratios as investors become more disillusioned. Secular bull market, generation long expansion in PE ratios as investors become more optimistic. I'm looking for a secular bear market in government bonds that will be punctuated by some very good medium-term rallies when investors and, more importantly, central banks fear deflation and recession. And I'm looking for mostly choppy currency market activity, but with the dollar encountering some further selling pressure, but not as much as many people expect. And indeed, the cycle of rising interest rates that almost all of us now expect from the Federal Reserve will lend some support to the US dollar overall, in all probability. And the apply any elasticity trades, mainly the metals, and also crude oil. I regard those as being in secular bull markets, but they are very much in a medium-term corrective phase today. Last point to mention, I've had some wonderful questions and emails in from subscribers, and I will post, I'll try to do it. I will definitely do the subscribers' questions and observations special audio at some point next week. I might also talk a little bit about the chart seminar. The main point in looking and talking to people during and afterwards and looking at the feedback we got on the questionnaire is the number of people who said, what a remarkable group of delegates. And they were utterly outstanding. Why were they utterly outstanding? They were subscribers, mostly, who are interesting and motivated people. And that's one of the most, well, that's what keeps me doing the chart seminar, other than, to be absolutely honest with you, a little bit of pressure from my colleagues. Come on, dude, get out there, you're going to do another one of those. And I certainly did enjoy it, and I enjoy it because I don't do too many of them. And somebody said, David, what's happened? Have you stopped going to your operas and concerts and ballets? No, not a bit. I've gone to loads of them, but I'm sadly behind in all those reviews. I'm going to try to squeeze in just a few brief summaries, because I know that a delightfully large, surprisingly large to me, and I'm delighted at this number of subscribers, enjoy that sort of off-course section. And if you don't, well, of course, you don't have to read them, but thanks for your patience. Have a wonderful weekend.